Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16, better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Lord, our world teaches us to chase after abundance and wealth. We pray instead that you may transform our hearts so that we seek Jesus. Please help us to go after humility, a treasure that seems to be in such short supply in our world. And we pray that as we do this, that we will live a genuinely different and better life than we otherwise would live. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was introduced to the book, The Life of I, The New Culture of Narcissism, quite a few years ago now. It makes a very, very simple point that there has been a significant rise in Western civilization in this attitude of being shallow, self-focused, low empathy, low commitment, and obsessed with having an audience. Social researchers point to all sorts of causes and effects of this. The rise of social media is an obvious one. Increased rates and availability of cosmetic surgery. Permissive parenting that tells children that they are special and entitled to whatever they want in life. And the ability that we have now to afford and get exactly the products that we want. I think all of it comes from and all of it feeds this unhealthy ego that we have in our society. It was in this book that I learned that drivers of more expensive cars like BMWs were more likely to commit traffic offences. You are more likely to run a red light or to endanger a pedestrian if you drive a more expensive car. There is this relationship between wealth and entitlement and indifference to the plight of others. It was upon reading that I realised that I did not need a BMW in my life because I drive badly enough already. Now, is all of this a little bit overstated, do you think? Well, maybe, right? You know, selfishness has been around in the world since Adam and Eve. People have always engaged in boasting and promoting themselves and putting down others. Maybe you could say that our technology just allows more of that to bubble up to the surface, just like TVs and the internet has led to more loneliness and insularity in families and homes. But I don't think it's controversial to say that we as a society think way too much of ourselves. You know, it's easy to get people to agree with you if you use words like selfish and narcissistic when you talk about our society. I don't think anyone would ever say that people today are too humble. And it is squarely in the direction of humility that Jesus is pulling his people in Luke chapter 14. The Christian writer C.S. Lewis says that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Jesus is calling his people toward lives of service, love, and other person-centeredness. And he does this because this was the attitude that he displayed for us when he died on the cross for us. And so in this part of the Bible, Luke chapter 14, Jesus is at a dinner party. He is dining at the house of one of the Pharisees. Pharisees were the top people in ancient Israel, the top people religiously, intellectually, and financially. But like many elites, they had a problem with humility. They were good people, behavior-wise, but they liked people to see them do good things. They got into debates and arguments to show how wise they were and to increase their own status. If there was social media in ancient Israel, the Pharisees would be all over it. It enabled them to do all the things they loved to do, boast about themselves, engage in debates, prove they're superior. And so when it comes to teaching them, Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. He goes straight for the issue they need to hear, the issue of humility. And it's an issue that we need to hear as well. Jesus calls his people to pursue humble positions, humble company, and humble hearts before God. And so first, humble positions, Luke chapter 14, verses 7 to 11. Now we told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honour, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honour, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. At meals in those times, the most honorable people were the ones who would sit closest to the host, and they were also the ones who often arrived later than others because of their position. And it's not too different today, is it, right? At a wedding reception, right, it's the family that are the closest to the bridal table. And then maybe a little bit further out, you have your work friends. And then the Christians are in the far back corner, aren't they? Because you guys are meant to be humble, right? That's where we get placed. We make a big deal about how equal our country is, but there is always a pecking order. There's always a hierarchy wherever you go. And Jesus is saying that when you have a choice, you don't place yourself in the highest position possible in the hierarchy. You place yourself in the lowest position possible. Why do you want to do that? Well, in a worldly sense, it's because you want to avoid the shame of being knocked down in the pecking order. It's disgraceful. Most of us know people who have scored jobs that they are completely unqualified for. I've worked with people like that in the hospital. I'm sure that you have seen people like that in your workplace. Maybe they lied and said that they had skills that they didn't have, or maybe created this false image of success and competence. But it only takes a little while for that charade to drop. And then everyone's opinion of that person drops with it. And they didn't need to do that, did they? Right? They could have chosen a position more suited to them. It wasn't worth it. And then on the other side of that, how much better is it when you get that tap on the shoulder from someone and they encourage you to take things to the next level, and even more than that, they say that they will support you in doing that. You see, Jesus has got something right here. He's saying that honor is best when it is given by others rather than seized by ourselves. But there's an even bigger reason why we should listen to Jesus here, and it's the heavenly reason, not just the earthly reason, but the heavenly reason. Verse 11, he says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus says this saying quite a few times, and every time he says it, it's about what will happen when he returns. It's about where people stand with God on that judgment day. And Jesus says it is the humble who will be saved. It's the humble who go to heaven. It's the people who recognize that they are unworthy. They recognize they're sinners. They recognize that they don't deserve heaven. It's only because of God's mercy and love and grace that they are saved. And it's people who are proud, those who think they are something, those who feel entitled, those who reckon God owes them. They don't get it. People like the Pharisees, they'll be humbled. They will get what they actually deserve, which is death and hell. And so Jesus is saying here that where you see yourself in relation to others is a byproduct of where you see yourself in relation to God. You cannot say, I don't deserve anything from God, right? You kind of act all humble and at the same time feel like you deserve something from people. Those don't go together. The British preacher Charles Spurgeon said once, "If any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are far worse than he thinks you to be." And Jesus modeled this perfectly for us, didn't he? He took the humble position. He was equal with God, but did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. He became a human being. And even more than that, he became a scorned and shamed and despised human being. And even more than that, a dead human being. Jesus served us by dying for our sins to make us right with God. And Jesus is calling us to follow him, to do the same thing that he did. So can we take the humble positions in life? Talked about positions at parties before. I talked about jobs before as well. And maybe I want to suggest to you regarding jobs that it might be a bit foolish to take the highest paying position you qualify for. I'll admit that I only see this from the outside, but the higher you get, there seem to be hidden expectations, hidden terms and conditions, hidden stresses. Of course, they're not going to tell you about those things before you go in. And that means less space, less margin for family, for compassion for others, for helping others, less time for God. It sounds a lot like great treasure and trouble with it. And maybe it might be a bit better to choose a job that you can comfortably do and let other people pull you up. But what about other jobs as well? What about the jobs you do at church and at home? Can you do the humble thing there? Can you pick up other people's rubbish? Can you do the lowly tasks like washing dishes, cleaning spills on floors? Can you get your hands dirty for others, or are you too good for that? In church, job descriptions, roles and responsibilities, they really help us to work efficiently together. But at the same time, and I think kind of it might sound a little bit pious, right? But I kind of wish sometimes that we didn't need them. You know, that if something needed doing, people would just go and do it. Because it's not my responsibility is a pretty poor excuse for someone to use. You know, it's like, I don't hold a hose, mate. Can we take the humble position in the clothes that we wear, the tech that we buy, the car that we drive, the size of our properties? All of that is a bit of a statement about how much we think we deserve. And Jesus calls his people to take the humble position. And so humility is seen in the positions that we take. It's also seen in the company that we keep, verses 12 to 14. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." You scratch my back, I scratch yours is one of the driving principles of our world. Most of our relationships are relationships of exchange or relationships of reciprocity with people trading money and goods and services with each other, but also exchanging even less tangible things like honor, respect, and even friendship with each other. How many of your friendships are like that? How many of the parties that you go to, because you get something out of it? Maybe you go there because someone there will do you a favor in the future, or someone there is respected and you can say that you met them. How many times do you wonder to yourself, should I keep up contact with this person if they don't seem to be doing anything for you? Now, Jesus says here that those kinds of concerns of exchange or reciprocity or equality, should not be the guiding principle in the relationships that we seek. Verse 12, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. It's treating repayment here as something that you actually want to avoid. And instead, we should be doing the opposite, verse 13. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When it comes to the company we keep, we shouldn't be seeking people who can serve us. We should be seeking people we can be of service to. The Christian doesn't ask the question, who can scratch my back? They ask, whose back can I scratch? And part of the reason why is because this is what Jesus did for us. He showed grace and love and mercy to us. He died for our sins, and we could never pay him back for that. And so we should do the same to others. We should do this because of the example of Jesus in the company that he kept, not the elites, but the poor, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, people ashamed by society at large. But you might notice that that's not the reason Jesus gives in this passage. The reason he gives is, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. You see, it's not necessarily wrong for Christians to seek reward or repayment. The question is just, what kind of reward are you seeking? And who are you seeking it from? Are you seeking a material reward or a spiritual reward? Are you seeking a reward from people or a reward from God? Whose economy are you actually working in? Because God has a very peculiar economic policy. He doesn't reward those actions that create profit for people in this world. In the words of Matthew chapter 6, he says, "You have received your reward in full." God actually rewards the actions that cost people in this world. He sees everything that we do, all the things done in secret, all the things we can't boast about, and he settles all those accounts at the resurrection when Jesus returns. And if we truly believe that, then we as Christians will be seeking the company of people who cannot pay us back. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it goes, "Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly." We never think we are too good for anyone. We're happy to hang with people who give us no respect or reward, because they're not the ones that we are actually seeking respect and reward from. And it kind of strikes me that one of the best places to do this actually is church. Right? And now, no doubt, like, church is, and it should be, the place where some people in need come to get help. Right? A church is the place where people come to be served. But I think church is also the place where people who are not in need come to serve others. We often think to ourselves, "I don't need to go to church." The next thought should be, yes, and that is precisely the reason why you should go. If you don't have something you need, you have something to give. And church is the place where everyone is equal in God's kingdom, where riches, education, nationality, and family do not matter. And therefore, it's the place where we find ourselves in the company of people who we would never associate with in a life outside of church. This is not a bug of the Christian community. It is a feature. And that loving, self-sacrificial attitude that we learn from church, we take into the world as well, as we reach out to people and make friends with people whom no one else will make friends with. People who might be unseen, awkward, weird, or even rude. Perhaps the people we don't fellowship with speaks more about who we are than the people we do fellowship with. Jesus calls his people to seek humble company. Now, both those parables Jesus just told were what we do at our earthly dinner parties. They're about human behaviours with other humans. The final one is a bit different. It's about the heavenly party. And in this one, Jesus is still calling his people to humility, but he's calling us to have humble hearts before God. And that is verses 15 to 24. "When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' But he said to him, 'A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" The trigger for Jesus' story here is the man who said to Jesus, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." It's likely here this is one of the Pharisees, because Jesus is at a big Pharisee party. And so maybe he heard these parables of Jesus and he wanted to get on Jesus' good side, wanted to get some sort of approval from Jesus. But this whole story is Jesus telling this guy that he doesn't have the right idea. He assumes he is in the kingdom of God when he's not. The holder of the banquet in this story is God. The banquet party is heaven. The people who are initially invited are these elite Jews, people like the Pharisees. But you'll see from the way that they respond that they don't actually think it is blessed to be in the kingdom of God, because they all make excuses not to be. Some of these excuses might be reasonable, I think, if it was a friend or an equal who invited you, right? And think about if you invited a friend over for a meal and they said, well, you know, I just bought a place, right? I'm moving in on that day, or I got to go outside the city to pick up a new car that I bought, or I'll be on my honeymoon on that day. You know, reasonable, right? You'd accept that. But not if it's God, right? Not if it's God who is inviting you to come out of hell, come into his kingdom, and be saved from your sins. An invitation like that is not an invitation by an equal. It's an invitation from the God of the universe who loves you and wants to save you. And an invitation like that, you drop everything for. Except the Pharisees didn't. God wasn't worth more to them than any other person. In fact, probably even less. And so the big message that they sent to God was, I have better things to do. I'm too good for you, is what they said to Jesus with their self-righteousness and their trust in their own goodness. I really love Council Bulky Waste Collection Day, the time when you take out all your old stuff that you don't need anymore and put it out on the street. And of course, the other phenomenon that happens around that time is you get these characters who kind of cruise around and they pick up some free stuff from the street, put it in their trucks before the council does. There was a time when in our street, everyone put out their stuff. But I noticed that during the week when all that stuff was out, people were taking stuff away from all the other houses in our street. But they left our stuff untouched. And I actually felt pretty insulted by that. And I mentioned this to Jen, and she said, yeah, like what, like, you know, is my garbage not good enough for you or something, right? It might be wrong for me to be insulted if you don't take my garbage. But it is not wrong for God to be insulted and angry if you do not take his invitation of eternal life. If you think you're better than that, it insults God when we think we are. When God wants to meal with us, when God wants to speak with us, what kind of excuses do we offer him? I'm too busy. It's too boring. I need some time for myself. I slept in. You do not do that with people you respect. And that is why in the rest of the parable, it's not them who get into heaven. It's the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame, who I think are the lowly Jews, right? The people in Jewish society who know they need Jesus and they are willing to give just the meager lives that they have to Jesus. But it's not just them, but also the people in the highways and hedges as well. The people who I think are the Gentiles here, are people outside the Jewish borders, who the gospel goes to them as a result of the rejection of the Jews. Jesus calls his people to have humble hearts before God. Not to treat our time with God as equal to any other social engagement. This is our time with the King of the universe, with our Lord and Saviour. And he calls us not to make excuses for doing business with God. Because what could be better than sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from him? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 7 goes, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. We might be anxious about all the things in our lives that we need to do. But spending time with God is one of the ways that we trust him and cast our anxieties on him, rather than trusting in ourselves to solve all our problems. Jesus calls us to have humble hearts before God. Jesus calls us to humility, and that challenges the values of our time. His call to seek the humble position challenges the notion that we are worth something. His call to seek humble company challenges our belief in exchange and reciprocity. And his call to humble ourselves before God challenges our small view of God. Humility is not just a good idea, and it's not just a nice thing to do. It's the only logical attitude we can have living in a world with a big God and an undeserving people. Jesus doesn't just call us to humility, he calls us to reality. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when our world gets it wrong, that you set us straight. And thank you for Jesus' words on humility today. Heavenly Father, we admit and we know that we have been captured by this attitude of our world, this view that we are something, this view that we deserve all sorts of things from you and from other people. Please help us not to follow that impulse, not to follow that culture, but instead to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us to be people who take the humble positions in life and rely on you and others to bestow honor upon us. Please help us to seek humble company, showing that we live not just for this world, but for the world to come. Help us to have humble hearts before you, not making excuses for not doing business with you, but recognizing that you are not our equal, that you are the God of the universe and we owe everything we have to you. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.